children are dismissed to go with Miss Amanda. What a great song. Glory to his name. If you have your Bibles, we are in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. All right, we're back in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 1. While you're getting there, let me tell you about a story of a man who was hired to paint a church, the outside of it. He's decided to save some money, so he thinned the paint with water. And after finishing the job, a big storm came and washed all the paint away. And the man felt guilty, and so he knelt down and he prayed, "Lord, forgive me, what should I do?" And a voice from heaven boomed, "Repaint and thin no more." Sin often has unintended consequences, doesn't it? All right. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? And while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God." And then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." And then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, that your will would be done on the inside of us, that we would be changed, that we could say that we left here never the same because of your word. Lord, I ask that you would use me to speak your word, even though I don't deserve it. Lord, I ask that your power and your strength would be placed on these people, these your children. And I praise you for it all in advance, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, sin can have deadly consequences. Look at verse 1 again. There was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. And with his wife's consent, he kept the rest. And then Peter said, "Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. And everyone who heard about it was terrified. And then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. Let me give you the backdrop here. People are so moved at this particular point in time that they are selling property and goods and giving to the poor so that no one was in need of anything for life sustenance. Then comes Ananias and Sapphira, okay? Believe it or not, I'd call this a miracle. Maybe not your typical miracle as you think of a miracle, but a miracle nonetheless. And it has a simple message for us today. You see, Ananias and his wife had some land, and they sold some of it, and they brought part of the money to the apostles. The sin was not in selling the property. The sin was claiming it was the full amount when it wasn't. You know what that's called? It's called a lie. And his wife was also in on it. And notice when Peter says about the whole thing. He says, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You see, Ananias succumbed to temptation, and in so doing, lied to the Holy Spirit. Look at James 1:12. It'll be on the screen. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You can endure temptation under the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting in God for the way of escape and temptation that comes on you. Therefore, Ananias is without excuse because he did not mortify the sinful temptation when it first arrived in his heart, but he went through with it. He paid a price for it, a significant price. He died. I would say they literally followed the order of temptation, these two, found in James. Number one, temptation came from his desire to be praised for giving everything that he had, though he didn't want to give everything he had, so he lied about it. And number two, that desire gave birth to Ananias and Sapphira's sinful actions. And number three, sin was allowed to grow in their hearts and lives. And it brought forth not just a death in their communion with God until they repented, but it brought forth literal death to both of them. You ever wonder why people sin? Because in the short term, you get something out of it, or you think you do. You know, sin can even be fun for a season, but the end thereof is death. There are many places that address the consequences of sin. Here's one, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Now, you've probably heard it said, and it stands repeating, sin is fun for a season, but its end, it brings forth only death, destruction, pain, misery in some cases. You have a choice, Christian. You can either sow to your sinful desire, or you can live to please the Spirit. You can either mortify sin and live for Christ, or you can reap the destruction that will eventually catch up to you from your sin. Here are some steps to put to death sin in your life. It seems easy, but it's truly not. Number one, call it what it is. Call sin what it truly is. It's not an affair, it's adultery, and it's sin. It's not a white lie, it's a lie, and it is sin. It's not just sharing things, it's gossip, and it is sin. Do you see the pattern there? See, number two, see sin how God sees it. It's not a small thing. It's not okay for believers to live in sin. Might I also say that believer who has no qualms about living in sin is not a true believer? Because the Holy Spirit won't let you alone unless you take care of that sin in your life. You need to make sure that sin is taken care of. You know, I know of a woman and man that lived together for 10 years, and they were unmarried, and eventually they split up, and that's normal today. But they called themselves Christians, and they even like to refer to themselves as ministers of the gospel. Let me tell you, I seriously question their salvation. Some of you are going, but Pastor, that's not your business. No, but I'm a fruit inspector. The Bible says I can inspect the fruit, and the fruit was rotten. Now why? Because they were living in blatant, unrepentant sin, and they were all right with it. Let me tell you, God is not all right with a Christian living in any kind of sin, whether it's gossip or whether it's adultery. Sin will send the unrepentant, the unregenerate, to hell, period. Number three, recognize that to live in sin is inconsistent with who we are in Jesus Christ. We are new creatures, given a new nature, and to live by the old nature is inconsistent with our standing in Christ. If I am a new man, then I should very well act like it because of the Holy Spirit being poured into my life. Things are starting to fall off. I become more and more like Christ if I'm in the new nature. And then lastly, number four, put to death your sin. It sounds easy, but it hurts. Because you're killing something that's been a part of you since you were born. It isn't easy by any means. And that's why you can't do it alone. You must be saved so that you can get the help of the Holy Spirit to put to death your sin. You know, an early church scholar, John Owen, wrote this. He said, sin aims always at the utmost. Every time it rises up to tempt or entice, might it have its own course. It would go out to the utmost sin in that kind. Every unclean thought or glance would be adultery if it could be. Every covetous desire would be oppression. Every thought of unbelief would be atheism, might it grow to its head. Men may come to that sin may not be heard speaking a scandalous word in their hearts, that is provoking to any great sin with scandal in its mouth. But yet every rise of lust, might it have its course, would come to the height of villainy. It's like the grave that is never satisfied. Sin is like the grave, and it's never satisfied. It's been said sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. You know, number two, sin can bring others down with you. Sin can bring others down with you. Acts chapter 5, verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. And then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Newsflash, this was somewhere about 2,000 years ago, roughly speaking. There were no cell phones. Okay? So in those days, Sapphira couldn't just call her husband up and find out where he was. So what did she do? Well, she went looking for him to the last place he said he'd be. She hadn't heard what had happened to him yet. And so Peter repeats the lie to her, and she says, yes, that's it. That's the case. So she covered for her husband, knowing full well that she was a liar. And then just like her husband, she fell over dead. Your sin affects not only you, but also those around you. Every time. No matter how much you tell yourself that your pet sin doesn't affect others, it does. At the very least, it affects your relationship with God. And that's a big problem. And thereby affects your attitude toward yourself and others. Your attitude toward others is completely affected, believe it or not. Which affects them in return. And then maybe they get a bad attitude, which affects people they touch. And it all started because you believe that your sin affects no one but you. Sin can have an effect on yours and others' emotional, financial, and even physical states. The worst part of sin, at least for unbelievers, is it sends people to hell. Why, listen to me, believer, why would a believer want to be a part of something that could send people to hell? But you never thought of it that way. Why would I want to be a part of something that I know can send people to hell? But there's something good about this. There's some good news in all of this. But first, I need to show you some things. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." Everyone. You don't believe me? Well, look at a baby. Oh, they're cute. And there's one right here. And they're wonderful. But they are selfish. It's all about me. Folks, sin starts at birth. We are born in sin. And what are the wages of sin? Well, it's death, according to Romans 6:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me say that again. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Romans 5:10 says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by this death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son." In 10:13, the great promise, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, Acts 3:19 says this too. This is our responsibility, each and every one of us, whether we do this or not. It says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away." So that your sins may be wiped away. Imagine, if you will, I came across this illustration, a clear flowing river that provides fresh water for an entire village. The people rely on it for drinking, cooking, washing, watering their crops, etc. One day, a factory upstream starts dumping toxic waste into the river. And at first, the pollution isn't noticeable. Just a few chemicals here and there diluted by the water. But over time, the toxins build up. The water becomes murky. The fish begin to die, and the people start to get sick. What was once a life-giving source is now harmful. And the effects are felt by everyone in the village, even those who had no part in polluting the water. Sin is like that pollution. When we sin, it doesn't just affect us, it spreads, impacting the people around us. Whether it's dishonesty, anger, greed, or selfishness, our actions have consequences that reach beyond ourselves. The Bible reminds us of this in Romans 5:12. And it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people." You see, when Adam sinned, because we could trace it all the way back to the beginning, his disobedience didn't just affect him. It brought brokenness into the entire world. And in the same way, our sin can poison relationships, corrupt communities, and even damage future generations. Like that polluted river, the effects of sin spread and harm others, often in ways we don't immediately see or understand. However, just as the polluted river can be cleaned and restored, Jesus offers a way to cleanse the damage of sin through repentance and his grace. He purifies not only us, but can also begin to heal the relationships and the communities that were damaged by your sin. I have seen sin destroy churches. I have seen sin destroy people's lives. I have felt the effect and the sorrow of watching this happen. Don't be that person. Folks, we don't sin in a vacuum. Sin has consequences for us and those around us. But let me tell you something. There is hope if you're in sin. There is Jesus Christ, as the ladies come. You know, we could go on and on and on and on and on about sin, but I think you got the point. It's not a popular message, and a preacher don't like preaching about sin all the time. But when the scriptures talk about it, we need to preach it. And I think that's what we need to do as a church in America. We need to revisit what is sin and how is it gotten rid of. So today we revisited what is sin and how is it gotten rid of. My question for you today is where are you in relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you truly know him? Whether you're here, whether you're listening by podcast or YouTube or whatever, do you know that when you die, you will wake up in heaven? Because if you don't know, you can know right now, today. It requires the simple faith of a child. And it's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, came to the earth, born of a virgin, lived for 30 years, and then 3 years did signs, wonders, and miracles on top of that to prove he was who he said he was. And then he died on a cross, not for his sins, because he was perfect, but he died on a cross for my sins, because I'm imperfect, because I'm a sinner. And he died for your sins, because you're a sinner, if you're not his. That's right. And then is our hope. He rose again.